Christian Sunday. It's been 2 Sundays this month. We've had some guest speakers come in. I always bring, though, the notes. I've been fortunate now. Both of them have showed up both times. And but I'm always afraid not to come with notes. It'd be just my fortune to not bring notes, and something happened, they get sick, and I come up here, and, well, hi. So I always bring them. But Ian is here, so we're going to have a good morning in worship and get a missions report where some of our expenses go and some of the things we want to do still yet to be done as far as publications are concerned and why. Sometimes I talk about getting things printed in Spanish or this or that, and it's just a sort of a out there nebulous abstract concept. But this morning, I hope that you'll begin to see visibly why it's so important to do some of these things. So that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to Him. Let's spend a few moments in prayer, testing ourselves to see if we are trusting His Spirit to power us, to lead us, that all that we do might be to His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to carry on that which was given to us by the head of the church before His departure and sending to us the second sending, the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that all that is done this morning in song, in worship and giving, and Heavenly Father, in orienting ourselves to the outreach of the gospel for our unbeliever and the gospel for the believer. Father, we are just so humbly appreciative that You would see fit to use this humble congregation in so many different ways, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I've got a couple of things to announce to you before we really get into things that are going on. Most of you here know David McNeil and Linda McNeil. Linda kind of really worked in the State Department and not only worked there, but answered letters and different things for us. And they moved over to East Texas earlier this year. We had a fellowship party for them. Not a party happy to see them go, but a party sad to see them go, but let them know that we do care about them. Well, Thursday, David McNeil came down with what we will call extremely severe, and I don't know if you can use both of those words together, but nevertheless, a severe headache. And his father had a severe headache, very similar to that which David had, and died 2 weeks later. So David was taken with alarm with it. And Friday evening, when the headache would not subside at all and seemed to intensify, they went to the hospital in Tyler. And David McNeil has been diagnosed with 2 tumors in the brain, one in a very severe and dangerous location in the brain, and some cancer in parts of his body. I talked to David yesterday, a couple of times, several times, as a matter of fact, and his spirits were very good in laughter and just being able to talk, and very good spirits. And what they're going to do at this point is tomorrow they will have the first brain operation on one of the tumors in the brain. And then after they have that operation, then they will decide each step that they're going to go after that as far as any kind of therapy, chemotherapy, what kind of therapy. I told David, as you know, I'm getting ready to travel. I told David that I thought maybe I might cancel traveling and speaking and be down there, and he encouraged me, he and Linda, encouraged me very much not to do so. And so I will go ahead and speak in Hot Springs tonight and tomorrow night in Conway, Tuesday and Wednesday, and then drive to Tyler area, their home, on Thursday. But the operation will be tomorrow. He's in St. Francis in Tyler. Linda seems to be doing very well. they both receive their strength, as they should, in their relationship with the Lord and the power source of the Holy Spirit. And so, but just to be in prayer and support and different things, I want you to be aware what's going on in their life. And so please bear that in mind. And having mentioned that, we will not have services Tuesday and Wednesday night of this week. I will be in Arkansas teaching, and I do encourage and solicit your prayers in the speaking boldly, in dealing with the truth. The hot springs will be the people that are where we are and part of this fellowship, really, in various ways. But the teaching in Conway is going to be a whole other story. So I do solicit your prayers and all in teaching in Conway this coming Tuesday and Wednesday evening, that what needs to be said will be said in that respect. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purpose in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Giving is another one of those areas that is part of worship. It is not something that a pastor needs to browbeat people. It is something that happens when you walk in the Spirit. It's just one of those many things that we see occurring when we walk in the power of the Spirit, of giving as unto the Lord. And my responsibility really is not to encourage you in the area of giving, but to encourage you in the area of walking in the Spirit. He will lead you in the area of giving. So if you're here and have never accepted Christ as Savior by faith only and faith alone, please understand that the offering plate is of no issue whatsoever for you. It's the only issue for you is the offering on the cross. However, for those who have accepted Christ as Savior, it becomes wonderful opportunity to worship God in response to who and what He is in the offertory. And a little later this morning, but the momentum of this morning, you'll see where some of the offerings go. And again, I'm just so thankful that God has been fit to continue to not just use us, but to use us effectively in this humble congregation. So let's prepare ourselves for this facet of worship by prayer. Heavenly Father, it is one of the great privileges that we have to participate in the spreading of the gospel for the unbeliever and the gospel for the believer. Giving is a cornerstone of what Christianity is about, for you have given to us your Son. He has given to us his life. You have given to us your love. You could have designed in your omniscience another plan, another way, where we would not be participants in the spreading of the gospel. We would not be a part of it. But in your omniscience and grace, Heavenly Father, you have designed a plan where when we walk in the Spirit, we can participate in the area of giving, taking upon ourselves, Heavenly Father, that characteristic of yourself, of giving. We are appreciative for the political, economic freedom that we enjoy in this country. The freedom, Father, to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. We are appreciative for the men and women who have both gained and preserved this political, economic freedom. So often Christians find so many things to complain about, gripe about, criticize, malign, and judge. Not all the time. Their eyes, if their eyes were open, they see they have the freedom to do something about it other than talk. We are appreciative for this freedom to live where we choose, to marry, and to worship wherever we want to worship in whatever manner, Heavenly Father, that we see that you have led us, and to do with our money as we see fit, a very precious freedom in this country. And we cross this freedom, Father, with the great freedom with which we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ from the cross and the subsequent resurrection. It is in the spiritual realm of freedom, Father, that we have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom, what to do with our lives, what to do with our time, our money, our worship. Father, we pray now that as we join these two spheres of freedom and give us unto the Lord, that you will receive these offerings, and that you will continue, Heavenly Father, to use them in the spreading of the gospel here in this assembly, in our own community, in this country, and to outside of the borders of this country. We are so humble, Father, that you choose to use us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. In a few moments, we are going to have a report on missions, but let's prepare ourselves in song, and for that, let's open our hymnals to 461. 461, I Love to Tell the Story. Three verses that deal with the spreading of the gospel and teaching that we are somewhat familiar with. So let's stand and sing all three verses, I Love to Tell the Story. As I look over this morning, not many of you will be able to relate personally. A lot of this happened before a lot of you were even born. But during the time of very strong, not that it's non-existent today, but very strong communistic threat, there was a player in the whole field named Whitaker Chambers. Wrote several books. He was involved in a great judicious case, the Hiss-Chambers case, Alger Hiss, a spy who associated with Roosevelt and many other politicians, and it was quite a political scene at that time. Americans, there's so many things, wonderful things about Americans, but one thing that American Christians do that gets us into a lot of trouble is that we like to interpret the Bible according to American history. And that's very dangerous. The world has been going on for church history for 2,000 years, and we've been here 200 years, and we're going to interpret the Bible by American history. Things have never been worse than they are. Oh, come on! You didn't live during the Inquisition for 3 centuries, 300 years. A lot worse than it is now. But also we have this idea that God is a Republican conservative and Satan is a Democrat liberal. I propose to you that Satan doesn't care whether you are staunch liberal or staunch conservative. As long as you think therein lies the answer, he doesn't care which you are. Americans are very quick and very easy, as I was, to really judge and lambast communism. Nobody would ever choose to be one. Until I read Whitaker Chambers' book called, entitled Witness. And in the book, Whitaker Chambers did a masterful job. If you've not read it, it is not out of date. Maybe some of the names and players you won't know, but the story itself is not out of date. And even if you don't want to make your way through 1,000 pages, I just encourage you to read the first 23 pages once a year. I used to read it once every 6 months. It's that powerful of writing. But Whitaker Chambers wrote that what the West, the Western civilization, what does the West have to offer the rest of the world? What does the West, Western civilization, have to offer the communists? And he went through ideology. And a lot of people, in our arrogance, we would say, well, we have freedom. That doesn't communicate. He, in the first 23 pages of Witness, he tells you why a person would be a communist. It will just astound you. It will astound you. Why a thinking, and he's a genius, why thinking people would become a communist. We think that Western civilization, freedom, conservatism, capitalism is ideologically the only thing there. Until you read these 23 pages, you allow your mind to start seeing and thinking the way different people think. And what he very sharply presents to us is, in the book, I think, Cold Friday, the title of the book is Cold Friday, what does the West have to offer the world? And he said, we do not have any political system to offer the world, any economic system to offer the world. He said, the only thing that the West has to offer the world is Christ. He said, that's all. That's all you have to offer the world, is a true understanding of Christianity, a true relationship with God. Now, before I go on and give you a book report on Cold Friday and Witness, I'll leave that having said that, because it's profoundly true. And even if we wanted to argue that no, capitalism is superior, what have we offered the world if we give them that? There's still no closer to God. So, the statement of what we have to offer is Christianity, is Christ. Christianity. And it has been the privilege of this congregation to be able to participate in spreading the gospel. And I use the word gospel because Paul and the epistles do, not only of salvation one, where most people use it in dealing with the unbeliever, but the word gospel is applied to both believer and unbeliever, or unbeliever and believer. And once you begin to see clearly the message and how your message to the unbeliever is basically the same message to the believer, just dealing with different standings, it's a tremendous message. So it has been our privilege to have a connection with giving the gospel to unbeliever and believer in Central South America. I've got up here, I want to end or take you through the whole thing. Just to orient you, this is Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and come down Nicaragua, and then down to Panama, and he'll tell you about Peru. Something just came up last night in Peru. We're a small church in number. I think it is just so befitting that God has given us the privilege, and I do mean that, the privilege to work with Ian and Carol McGrath. Usually you think that to do this kind of, take on this kind of a challenge, boy, you'd have to have a tremendous organization, tremendous amount of money, tremendous amount of clout to be able to get into various military forces, various places. They're not just going to let you in. And you know what? You're right. But you know what God has done in his sense of humor and his love? He's taken a real weirdo from Australia. From Australia. Not even American. Not a Mexican from this area or South American. He's taken somebody from down under, brought them over, up over, and Ian, a missionary group of two, he and his wife, a board of two, people they are allowed, Ian has gone into places And I don't say this disparagingly, just to make the point that Billy Graham's organization and other large organizations are not even allowed into the military post that this man's been given the privilege to go to. I love it. Just an humble congregation, and just working with a very small mission board that has power and has been given the privilege to go into unbelievable places. And that's where I'll stop talking and let Ian come up now and just give you a report where he's been, where he's going, what's going on. Ian, it is a privilege for us to be part of your ministry.
Thank you.
All right, let me give you this.
Yes.
You'll need this. There you go.
What do I do with that?
You just pin that right there and speak into that right there.
Probably pull my pants down here. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. It has truly been a privilege working with this church, with this, the teaching that we have had from this church. I don't want to stay up here too long because I need that which sustains me. I need the teaching of the Word of God. So I just have her and brought some notes to you folks still first. In our mission, we have had the privilege of working with the military. We have had the opportunity of going into Cuba. We have had the opportunity of where the Billy Graham, the Lewis Plow, and the Alberto Mattesi, and now Alberto Salazar, also feed the children. They've also got a little a ministry throughout the Latin American world that's very hot, but they have a very high-reaching populace of the people. But because we are small, God has given us the greatest opportunities that have been afforded to any little organization. When the brother of Franklin Graham, Ned Graham, rings us at our house, you know, somewhere along the line, we must have had some impact. But the opportunities that we have had is no different from what you have. It is so easy to be a missionary out on the mission field. You take any country, you can go out there and act like an idiot. Act like an idiot, and these people will accept you. You can go in there and preach whatever you want to preach. But yet, it is so harder to be a missionary here in the States, in the environment of your work, in the environment of your house, and the environment of where you live, and the environment of those people you come in contact with. As the Bible says, do we see Christ? Did they see Christ in us? Not by our actions, not by our... just by looking at us to see the reflection of Jesus Christ. So easy to be a missionary. You can go there and act like an idiot, get up there behind the pulpit and preach as hard as you like. They'll never remember you. But your neighbor is looking at you to see Jesus Christ. Let me get on with the subject. I'll start preaching, you see. Guatemala. It has a population of, when I first spoke to you many years ago, I thought Guatemala had a population of 18 million, but it only has a population of about 9 million. Honduras, the majority of people live in Tegucigalpa, and San Pedro Sula, up here in the north, there's only has 3 or 4 countries. In the last, since November last year, they had a hurricane Mitch came through. They had 35 inches of rain in 5 days. It didn't come down slowly at all. The water piled up in just horrendous torrent of rain. And in Honduras, they only have 3 rivers on the southern section of it. And those rivers just came through at a tremendous torrent and killed, in Honduras alone, 9,000 people. In Nicaragua, it killed untold thousands of people because there's so many people there not even registered. The poor people live near the rivers, the rich people live in the hills. The rich people were saved, the poor people got killed. So we were actually in Cuba last year when the hurricane came by. But it's the devastation that has been left in these countries, the people are still in shock. That has given us an opportunity to present the only true hope that anyone could ever have. an opportunity that we have had. No one has ever worked in Nicaragua with the military. They are still at war with the guerrillas in Guatemala, in the Yucatan Peninsula, in the Patan. The guerrillas are now at peace with the military. They've been set up with little farms and little cottages in an area there that has been developed for the guerrillas. But they don't have any churches out there. There's a whole mission field there of, they say the whole area was divided up into 9,000 3-acre lots. There's a whole mission field there with very, very few missionaries. Very, very few missionaries who were teaching the truth. When I was down there, let's get on with the subject, when I was down there, and firstly I had to arrive in El Salvador. Where am I? Who am I? Where's my mother? In El Salvador, San Salvador, the capital, is not even there. But anyway, somewhere there in El Salvador, and I had a card there that you wouldn't have recognized my name, but only on the bottom there it had a hospital Robles, and that was the only, because it had some name that was so foreign, the guy interpreted it and wrote it down as it was interpreted, and he had no idea how to spell my name, so I had to guess that was me. So I arrived there overnight, because the plane had to stop overnight, and one of the doctors sent a taxi out to pick me up, and so therefore I was taken care of. But in these countries, there is so much tension. The people live with tension constantly. But if you give them the hope, you give them something that they can cling on to. In India, there are so many missionaries who don't have a pastor, don't have a Bible, but they have one Bible verse, and they run with that Bible verse. They are saving more people than what I will ever save by that one Bible verse. I can go to literally thousands. I'll tell you that I went to thousands in 3 weeks. But they have one Bible verse. That's all they have. And trusting God's provision that He will take care of the situation. They are saving many, in India, they are saving many, many people. In India at the present time, there are so many missionaries getting mutilated, murdered. We have never seen such enormous amount of missionaries getting taken off the field. In Colombia here, there are 3 missionaries between the Panama and Colombia border. You've probably heard them, that they were in the, I think it was in the, one of the mission organizations anyway. Three men were taken captive. Their wives, this was 5 years ago, the wives still don't have no idea what happened to them. They were taken captive, and they're still either dead or they're held as prisoners. The greatest problems we've ever had in Colombia right now are presenting the gospel. It's an open gold field. It's an open field to present the gospel because they're in such tension. They've got to have that hope that we have. Getting back to the story, how can I get distracted here? I arrived in Tegucigalpa in Honduras, and I was met there by the military chaplain, and the military chaplain is in association with what we call a Christian military fellowship. Each country has its own little branch, and each country has its own little field in different parts of the country, and there's a head office here in the States, and there is a worldwide body. But because we associate with this Christian military fellowship, they give us the opportunity and they give us the names to whom we contact with, and I thank God that I was a soldier, because that gives me an access to the military, Christian military fellowship, which gives me access to the soldiers, and I present to them a life with a bullet. This little bullet has the power to kill you. So how much value does your life have? How much value do you place on your life? Because this little bullet has the power to kill you. But I tell you, your soul is what God wants. God wants to give you something. The greatest desire of God is in His love to give you His Son. To give you the eternal life that His Son really has. I present the fact that your life has no value. You are dead in yourself, but this little bullet has the power to kill you. Therefore, what value have you but the power of Jesus Christ in salvation? You have the opportunity to believe. I go on to present that in India, there are 20 million gods. I go on to present that each god is a false god, because no god has... There is the god of the tree, the god of the dirt, the god of the earth, the god of the sky, the god of the water, the fish. But I have false gods. I set them up with a precedent, and I shoot them down. I use a military metaphor. I use the protocol that they are associated with the military. I tell them, you have nothing in your life worth eternal life, but God desires your soul to give you eternal life. I present them with the fact that in India there are 20 million gods. You can believe in them, but you won't have salvation. But I can believe this. You can believe in the Son of God, but you will have eternal life. And then I go on to present at the latest trip that I had. I go on to present now to live by faith, the greatest aspect of salvation, the follow-up of eternal redemption. I have now been given the opportunity to go ahead and present in the times that I had with the colonel that was the chaplain that went with me in Honduras. I was presenting myself as an Australian. I served in Vietnam. Now I serve my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he was taking one line out every time we went to a military base. He was taking one line out and using that when he was presenting me. He'd take that out, and I was virtually running out of sentences in my English, in my Spanish, to present myself. But then, by the end, I said, I'll forget it all. I'm here to present Jesus Christ. So, because he'd used up all my lines. Then I go on to tell him that there is hope. There is a future. You have the greatest opportunity to be the greatest battalion or the greatest company in the military. With the power that has been given you, for those of you who have believed in Jesus Christ, you have now been given the greatest opportunity with the power that has been invested in you in God the Holy Spirit to live by that same power, to live by the power of God the Holy Spirit. I go on to tell them, it is by faith you accepted Jesus Christ. I want you to accept the fact there is no other way to live but by faith. We went on to Tegucigalpa. We went to certain military bases in Tegucigalpa. And Tegucigalpa is a city there that they had the downpour of rain also. And the six-story buildings I saw there that had trees sticking out. That's how much rain they had. And because the foundations had been undermined, that they cannot live to go back into those buildings. The whole system of the government has been so devastated. It's been financially bankrupt now because of the roads. Every road from San Miguel all the way to Tegucigalpa to San Pedro Sula, you saw mountains, just complete mountains washed down. No, I'm just not talking just the road just washed out. I'm talking miles upon miles of road. Just the whole mountainside just flipped down. And then the Americans, the Japanese, the French, the Cubans, and a lot of other countries came in and cleaned up the roads, but the infrastructure of the government is totally devastated. They cannot, will not get back on their feet within 20 years. They're totally bankrupt. The country is so broke, they can't do anything. They have had to downgrade their military from they said it was 20,000, but I never saw any more than 6,000 soldiers in Honduras. We went from Tegucigalpa down the south of the country, and certain military bases there have had anything up to 1,500, 2,000 soldiers. They're down to 500. Some of those military bases there are so depleted. The whole system, they've got no beans, they've got no bullets. All they do is sit around and cut grass all the time. But it gave me the greatest opportunity. Every base commander, I was there 5 or 6 years ago, the base commanders that are there now were only captains and lieutenants originally when I was there firstly. There was 80% of the commanders who were colonels are all Christians. They opened up the doors, they opened up every opportunity for us to get in. And there was not one rejection. When we went there 5 years ago, there were rejections. We never had one rejection this time. We went into Choluteca, and Choluteca is the area where the three rivers are. I remember everybody buys their fuel in Choluteca before they go through Nicaragua into Costa Rica, because the fuel in Nicaragua is so expensive, they buy it there. But when the river came down, it just took the entire area. I couldn't even recognize the area because the bridges of the area had been all washed away, I had no idea if I was originally in the same, the outer suburbs of Teleteca. It was that bad. Oh, sorry, I apologize. Teleteca, Guatemala, Tegucigalpa. From Tegucigalpa, then we went up to San Pedro Sula. San Pedro Sula is a total devastation. Every time I go there, in the Air Force, they had class after class after class learning the military protocol. It was totally dead this time. There was possibly 100 soldiers there at the time. That was they were the guards that were they had to wake them up and got them up from I don't know why, but they woke them up and got them up and listened to me for 10 minutes and then go back to bed. Then we went from San Pedro Sula, we went all the way to the Copan region to Ochoa Tepe. This area. It's right next to the Guatemala border. The area I had been there before, and the only way to get to Tegucigalpa from the Choluteca is to still go to San Pedro Sula because the mountain range is there. The military bases there are all new soldiers. They have never heard of Jesus Christ. They have never heard the proclamation that there is Savior who died for the sins. They hear of Jesus Christ through the Catholic Church. They hear of Jesus Christ by someone using his name as profanity. But they have never heard that he died and paid for the penalty of their sins, that God loves them so much that he desires to give them salvation. In the town that I was in Honduras, just in Honduras alone, it was approximately 10 to 12 days, I went to more than 25 military bases. I never had one rejection to say I'm not allowed on there. There were bases there that didn't have any personnel because they were off fighting some beams and bullets. They were fighting those little targets that they shoot at. I never had one rejection to get on a military base. I never had one rejection when I presented the salvation message to the commanders nor to the soldiers. Very rarely do I ask, how many of you understand? Sometimes I say, how many of you have believed today? Sometimes in the military it's not a protocol to do that. But every time I asked it, there was only one military base that there were a few people who were shy. Everybody else gladly put up their hand. The open invitation to give the clear presentation of salvation by grace has been made available to us. We live by faith. Greater opportunities have been made available to us since we have been living by faith and total trust in the Holy Spirit for his provision to open up these doors for us. There are certain military bases between San Pedro Sula and Tegucigalpa that we dropped in on. There's a commando base there, the parachutist. I have some photos here if some of you folks would like to see them. Of course, something always goes wrong every time you do something. I had two rolls of film that I put in the camera, and it's one of those little Mickey Mouse little brownie cameras, and $5 from Walmart or something. And I put the film in, clip the closed, and push the button. Oh, yeah, this thing's going to go dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. He did that for about 35 times. I said, the film must be out, and by the time I said it's still on S, so it's still on start, so those 35 films, 35 great camera shots were wasted somewhere along the line. It takes that so many people were eager and keen to listen to that message, salvation message, because they've had the devastation of that hurricane. What hope is there in life? Give them the greatest opportunity for salvation. Give them the hope for living. Give them something that they need, that the world needs. We have been given, this church has been given our greatest privilege. Something more I'm about to tell you later on. Three opportunities in the last 3 weeks since I've been come back from these countries that will revolutionize certain countries. Anyway, from Honduras we went on to Guatemala. We have to go back to San Salvador into Guatemala. Guatemala is... There are 1,000 people who live on the rubbish tip. Their whole life is known on the rubbish tip. They're born, whatever education they have, they get married, and they die in the rubbish tip. There's 1,000 people. That's their whole existence. The rubbish tip is about the size of Dallas. It's big. These people have no hope. There's a few women missionaries down there. They'll walk barefoot just to give the gospel message. Whether it's true, whether it's not. But they have the willingness to go. They have the desire to give the message. Whatever it takes for them. There were missionaries in Cuba when Fidel took over who were willing to stay there because of their calling. How much does salvation mean to you? How much are you willing to give the message here in the States? How much are you willing to tell your next door neighbor? Went on to Guatemala. At the time that I arrived was a Thursday, and then you have to go into negotiations with the general. I got in with the general of the engineers, and the general of the engineers knows everybody. He's just been promoted general, and his wife is a believer. They don't know about his standing, but he asked for prayer. I prayed for his situation, his military command, his battalion, his whole total perspective on his rank, his position in the government, and I prayed for his government. I prayed that he would have the understanding that salvation is free. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. We have been given these opportunities. I'm a sergeant. I was one of those, you know, kicked down around by the sergeant. But we have been given, elevated to a position that God has allowed us to say, I can get into that commander's office to give the gospel message to him so that he can give me the opportunity to present the gospel message to the soldiers. I have one little photograph here of I presented the gospel to over 1,000 men there at the first military base. I presented the same message. I don't change it. And as we were leaving, we went into the general's office again and said our farewells and our dues again and had a cup of coffee. Walked out, and there was underneath one of the graders that they were repairing, there was a soldier sitting there reading one of those little Salvation by Grace tracts in Spanish. Those little tracts, folks, have been gone all over the Latin American world. I ask you, I beg you, don't change your mind on that one. Don't change your mind with that little tract. That Salvation by Grace in English portrays what it is about salvation. I tell them to see a little tract. Tells of the work of Jesus Christ. In the new one in Spanish that we have, has up the back to live by faith. I tell them, read this little book. It has the message that presents Jesus Christ on the cross. It has the message that presents to you what salvation is. I present to you how to live by faith in the Holy Spirit. We also have on that Thursday after presenting the tract and the presentation of the gospel message to the soldiers, we went back into the officers, and he gave us permission to any military base that we have had we want desire access to. That general gave us access because he overrides the commander. The Friday was a very dormant day. There was only a couple of thousand soldiers that heard the gospel. It was another one of those dead days. But the Friday night, and this is what I really want to come to. The Friday night, there was a little church that the Colonel Maldonado, whose house I stayed with, he took me into a little Bible study group, and then Latin America, you start at 7 o'clock and it doesn't really get going until about 9 o'clock, and it's over about 12 o'clock, so we arrived a little bit early, and there was about 30 people there with this little home Bible study group, and I presented to them the two saviors. The first sending, the second sending, you live by believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, and you believe in trust in the Holy Spirit for your daily deliverance, for your existence, for your life, for your everything about you. After about 30 minutes, he said, in English, "That is exactly what I've been teaching for the last 12 years." Great, thank you very much. Wonderful. I was shocked to see this. It was an old man of about 75. He'd been preaching to live by faith in the Holy Spirit. He's been teaching that for 12 years, and it was a real inspiration to me to uplift my spirit when I'd been had a little bit of a down there in Honduras. On the Sunday, we had to go to a little airport base way up here in the reaches of, where are we? Who are we? There. No, here we are. We'll take this one. San Bernardino. Anyway, we'll get there. It's called Flores. It's where the Tikal Mayan ruins are. It's 70 miles to the east, and we have been given a military vehicle, a military escort, and great, thank you, Lord. And just what I wanted, because I didn't want to sit around and walk there that far. But they gave us a military escort, and went into the Tikal region. They had these astronomical monuments of sacrifice that they had. Not only did I get sore because walking up and down these monuments, I suffered for the next 3 days about it. But that night, they gave me 3 military bases put together in one location to present the gospel. There was over 1,500 soldiers there. This is another time that I asked them, after the presentation, "Do you understand? Does any man not understand?" By that time, I said, "How many of you have believed in Jesus Christ?" Out of the 1,500, I don't think there was anything less than 1,200 that believed. Because of the devastation, that the lack of hope, they've got no prospect when they leave the military. They've got nothing. I've given them the hope, the life. I gave them the prospect that they can live. I gave them the opportunity, what is available. If you can have it, if you want salvation, you can have it now. If you want to live by power, you can have it now. By trust. Went into from Guatemala, went up to the Flores region. From there, we went over to the Mexican border, 100 kilometers. Yes, sir. No one. They are allowed, but no one else is doing it. Because of the association with the Christian Military Fellowship, the commanders know the commanders, which gets us, one commander knows the other, he just rings them up and tells it, and says, allow them on. I wish there were other people were doing it, because you could virtually stay in the one country at any one time for the rest of your life and have a mission field to the soldiers, because they're constantly changing. They have never heard of Jesus Christ. When the sergeant says, "Get in here, sit down, shut up, and listen," I have a deadly sigh. I have a deadly audience. I present what they need. I present the salvation message clearly. They give me usually give me 10 minutes. I take 15 and it goes into 20. But I present the only hope that the world needs. I present the Savior of the world. I present the Holy Spirit to live by faith. Because we are now have a whole new perspective on our ministry to walk by faith, greater doors and greater opportunities have opened up. If you need to leave, it's 11 o'clock. I've used up all my time. In the last, those 3 weeks that I was in Honduras, the entire Honduras, Guatemala, I stopped counting at 5,000. I also stopped counting at 3,500 soldiers who believe in Jesus Christ. So it is this church that supports us, the only church that supports us, to give out the tracts that you support, that you are part of it. You are the distributors. I'm only the guinea pig that goes down there. I'm only the idiot that stands in front of these soldiers and utters a lot of words. But if I don't have that prayer backing behind me, I have nothing. If I don't have you as a team member, I get nothing. You as an opportunity that you have as a body of believers, greater things will be had. 3,500 soldiers believed in Jesus Christ. 3,500, I'm only guessing, 3,500 soldiers have heard the proclamation that to live by faith in the Holy Spirit because he has the power. Don't do anything by yourself, do it in his power. Since I arrived home, the Alberto Salazar, who used to work with the Billy Graham, he rose to in the ranks of the Billy Graham Association. Now he went out on his own. He has 23 personnel going to Quito, Ecuador, in the first of next month, 15 days. When I arrived home, they have invited us to go teach walking in the surf. My wife rang him this morning, he rang John Wagg, everybody up, and he said, Alberto Salazar has since reviewed the information and now wants us to teach in Peru. All these countries, folks, you won't get America. You won't get America believing it. You will by one here, one there. But in a world where there's total devastation, where there is no hope, if you go down there and see the people in Guatemala, you land at the airport, you look out at the window, you see garbage city. It's called garbage bag city. You know those black plastic bags that the rich people put all their garbage in, pull the strings and it comes up and drops in there? They go around and steal those plastic bags and cut them, flip them up the size, have them over as a tent, and they live in there. You drive over there, you fly over there, and then you see the rich fields over here. The rich fields and the poor folk, they don't mingle together. That's not got nothing to do with me, but it's what their life is. They have no hope. The Richville is what the Richville here is in the States. America does not want to live by faith. They want to live by the illustrious dollar. I've got a dollar in my pocket that says, in God we trust. It doesn't. They don't trust in God. When it was originally printed, it was. In God we put on the sideline because I got to get on with my life. In Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, all the way down to Argentina, the tip of Argentina, they're looking for something. You have it. You have that message. Your neighbor needs it. America's not looking for the God of the Bible. America's looking for the God of the illustrious dollar. In Latin America, the greatest opportunities we have ever had are available now. They have nothing, no hope to live by, but yet we have been given the greatest opportunity to present to live by faith in the Holy Spirit. Herman may object to this, but I'm a little bit familiar with the Y2K. Every time, every base commander in Guatemala and Honduras, I was given access into their office. I was asked by the colonel to present the issues of the Y2K to the base commander. But I also gave him the solution. I opened up a can of worms, but the solution is in whom you place your trust. They gave us the greatest opportunity how to live. The Billy Graham Association, the Alberto Mattesi Association, the Lewis Plough Association have all realized that all the teaching that they have been doing for the last 10 years in Latin America is not working. Now they're virtually coming to us. What is the solution? Our pastors are married. They've got a wife on the side. They've got a mistress on the side. The men in the church don't know how to overcome. We have now got the solution. We have been given the greatest opportunity to go to Ecuador,
Peru.
I forgot to tell you, the Bahamas. My wife ran through someone else. She got in contact with someone else, and she said, "Oh, you must talk to this man." The head of the Association of Pastors in the Bahamas wants us to come, and I ask you, in front of Herman, I ask you to please let your pastor go. They want the source of hope. They want what it is that overcomes the power of sin in their life. Ladies and gentlemen, my time's up. Your time is now the beginning. What are you going to do with the message that you have heard when you walk out of this building? There are so many souls here in the States that need that hope, need that important message that they can use in their life that overcomes sin. Just like the rest of the world, we're all going, slipping down a great slide, and we're picking up speed. There are more people in the world now, or who are alive now, than has ever been born since the birth of Jesus Christ. There are more teenagers who are, 65% of the world's population are teenagers. There are 30% of those under 5 years old. What are we going to do with the great message? How are we going to fulfill the Great Commission if we don't go and tell them? How will they hear unless someone goes? How will they know unless someone tells and teaches them? Folks, we have been given the greatest opportunity now to proclaim the salvation message than what has ever been available in this church, I believe. We're not just talking, trying to change the America. We're trying to change countries. In Honduras, I gave the message that changed the lives of a lot of people with regard to their salvation. In Ecuador and Peru, these will be pastors who will teach their congregation. They know there's something wrong with their life. They know there's something wrong with the congregation because they don't have the power, because they've been facing it. I was facing it for many years too. I admit it. But yet, to whom do we go if we don't have that power? If we don't have that power, there is only one source of power, and that is the Holy Spirit. He has opened up the doors and the possibilities. I could take any one of you, please come with me. Come with me. Let me show you the opportunities that are available in the world right now. Herman wouldn't like it if his whole conversation went off and be missionary, but but there are many opportunities in the world right now to present what you have been teaching, what you have been hearing. Folks, it says in the Bible, we are to do good to our fellow man. We can't eliminate that, but we can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, teaching what he needs, what the world needs, that self-same message that you have heard for so long. Say to your neighbor, need that. Your family, and I need it too. My time is up. I've wasted your time. September, I will be in Quito, Ecuador. They're having a pastors conference. I've been down there for 3 pastors conferences with the Billy Graham Association. This one here will be to 400 to 500 pastors and their wives. We're not just trying to influence a few people. I will be teaching that. It's like they have 400 pastors. They come in together and they sing songs and they get the happy glow, and then they go off into their little happy clappy clubs. If you understand what I'm talking about, in Latin America. The happy clappy club is the majority of Latin Americans are Pentecostal, or Assemblies of God or whatever. But who am I to say that I have to change them? Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. I am to present the truth so that they can take it. I am to present the truth so the Holy Spirit can take that information and run with it. The Latin American church is alive and well. Sorry about America. The Latin American churches desire the teaching. They desire something to grasp hold of. The available opportunities that have been given to us right now. We're going to present the message, getting back to Herman's statement. I do tend to wander a little bit. They have these little cell groups, everybody breaks off in their little groups, and I will be teaching walking in the Spirit. Others will be teaching other activities. There will be two sessions per day for 5 days, and then every night the church will be meeting. In Latin America, it doesn't matter where they are. If they say church is meeting tonight, everybody comes to church again. They switch off the TV and they go to church. They switch off the programs that are so dear to them and go to church and to hear whatever it is that is taught. But I have been given the greatest opportunity for 4 nights in 4 churches. I asked Herman, I'll stay in front of you. I've asked Herman to come down with me. 4 nights for 4 churches, I will be presenting to Walk by Faith. These pastors can take that information and take it back to their congregation. But I need biblical references that they have the concrete information to go by. I am not saying it by my mouth, but by the power of God. If I can present to them the salvation message clearly enough by walking in the Spirit, we could have an influence on a country. On the Friday night, they have already assembled a football stadium that holds 58,000 people. Not that they say there's going to be 58,000 people there, but the majority of these will be church-going Christians. And hopefully they're going to bring along their unbelieving friends too. I have been given the greatest privilege to present the salvation message. The salvation message to these people. Both salvations. Because there's going to be a lot of people there who have raised their hand, who have invited Jesus into their heart. I'm going to lay it on the line. Come hell or high water, I have to present the salvation message that Jesus Christ is the one that saves. I'm going to present the salvation message that the Holy Spirit is the one in whom we trust. We place our trust in Him to do in us that which He would want us to do. That which He would want us to do. Out there, that which He wants to do in and through us. I got it, finally got it right. I will be presenting Walking by Faith to more than, I would say, 10 to 12,000 people. Those 10 to 12,000 people have no hope without faith in the Holy Spirit. They have no power to walk in whom to walk. This church, by its prayer backing, has given us the greatest opportunity. So, if I could say, intensify your prayer, please, for us. We're a small organization, and so is this church a small organization. But the opportunities that have been afforded to us right now, if you talk about the Lewis Plough Association saying, Ian, what is the problem? Or Carol, what is the problem with the Latin American world? In the Billy Graham Association, Roy Cruz is the head of, say, South Africa, South America, North America, Canada, and Europe. When he says, what is wrong? Do we have the message to give him? Do we have the hope? Because there's so many Latin Americans, it's a wishy-washy Christianity. But now we have the potential of telling them the greatest message, the power of the Holy Spirit. I have rambled on here for a little while. I have told you a few little things about a few countries, but I've also told you the potential of what is coming up. Nothing in life comes easy. I know I'll possibly may be attacked. At the present time in Peru, you could be attacked getting off the airplane. There are many opportunities, folks, here in Dallas for you. They're going to look at you. The next door neighbor is going to look at you to see what he can see. I can go down there and I can interview myself and they'll never remember me again. But the opportunity to fill this side of the auditorium is up to you. How much of a message, is your message convincing enough? Does it have the power behind it? Are you so desiring that others will come to see the reality of what of the hope we have? Or are we so blasé and say, well, he's not gonna like me so much if I present Jesus Christ, I'll, you know, just be, you know, put his hand around him and you're my friend. So we gotta go out. Jesus Christ was a missionary to God. He came and did that which God required of him. How much are we going to do with the message of Jesus Christ? I thank you. I thank you, Herman. Let's not be slack in proclaiming the message. Herman gets up here and proclaims the message all the time that the doors are open. You have the message that the world needs. Or are you going to guard it within yourself? The greatest failure in the world is the lack of teaching the lack of the communication of Jesus Christ. The hope that is in Christ. The hope that is in the Holy Spirit for us to live. The hope, the confident expectation in whom we're going to place our trust. Thank you very much.
That'd be fine. When is that? That's in November?
November November the 2nd in Peru, and the 20th of November in the Bahamas. Folks, the opportunities are just now opening up. They need the message. Do not. The world needs the message. And I am not the only proclaimer. I'm only the idiot that gets up in front of them. Regardless. The Peru thing is for pastors again. The pastors and the Bahamas is for pastors. We can have an influence on three countries within the next 3 months. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you've been wonderful. Mm-hmm. You want this thing?
No.
I had to switch it off. Do you have a word of prayer?